October 8th, 2005, item number 94. Today's guest is Shelley from Shelley's Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Shelley, a couple quick news and notes. First, I want to remind everyone, today is October 8th, and if you're in the Kansas City area, at 4 p.m. today at Tom Fullery's on the plaza, we'll be having our Kansas City Podcasters Meetup. Love to see everyone there, 4 to 6, Tom Fullery's on the plaza. Okay, and now for some important news. Senator Edwards will be traveling to 10 schools across the country in October to launch Project Opportunity. This is a new student-led effort to encourage young people to make the elimination of poverty the cause of their generation. And Senator Edwards would like to extend an invitation to all podcasters to attend these meetings and help, if possible, record these meetings. Now, if you're a podcaster and you're at near any of these 10 schools I'm about to name, please send an email to rob@podcast411 and I will tell you what you need to do and how to set you up. The schools are starting on October 17th at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, on October 18th at the University of Missouri at Columbia, on October 19th at Yale University, on October 20th at Harvard University, on October 21st at Dartmouth College, on October 24th at the University of Texas at Austin, on October 25th at University of California at Berkeley, on October 26th at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, on October 27th at Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, and finally, on October 28th at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. So if you are interested in coming out and helping out, we would really appreciate it. Please send an email to rob@podcast411. Just put Project Opportunity in the subject. And if you go to podcast411.com and go to the show notes for this interview, I will have the full press release along with the listing of all the colleges and the dates again. So thank you, and we hope to get as many podcasters out there as possible and involved in the Senator's Tour. It's Saturday, so we're going to go ahead and play a tech tip from Michael Carino at the Digital Media Cast Experiment. Here we go.
I'm Michael Carino from DigitalMediaCastExperiment.com with another Podcast 411 tech tip. Have you been having problems with popping peas when you do your podcast? There are two simple and inexpensive solutions to this problem. What you need is either a windscreen or, better yet, a pop filter. Windscreens can be purchased by the half dozen for only a couple of dollars at your local Radio Shack or music store. Sometimes they come in assorted colors, which makes them a favorite for young kids. You may have to buy two packages, though, one for audio use and one for the children. Though pop filters will normally cost about $20, you can make an inexpensive one with a wire hanger and a nylon stocking. Make a loop about 6 inches or more in diameter with a wire hanger, and then stretch a stocking over it. You don't want to let the stocking bunch up, because that might keep the good parts of the sound from reaching the microphone. Also, if the person who gave you the nylon is a little sensitive about her weight, try not to use the part of the garment that has the size tag on it. It's better to keep your explosive performance in the realm of your personality and content, and not your breath. Thank you, Rob, for letting me speak with your audience.
Michael, as always, thank you for the tech tip. Now coming up is going to be our interview with Shelley from Shelley's Podcast. For those of you not familiar with Shelley, she is an author and journalist who's been writing about Mac and Mac products for the last 15 years. She's written many different books, and she has two podcasts. One is Shelley's Podcast, which is an audio blog, and she also has a fan podcast for Tracy Hepburn. And we'll talk about both of those in the interview. Why don't we go ahead and get into it right now? Here we go. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure.
First question, what was your first computer?
The first computer I ever used was actually an IBM 370 mainframe. I was dating a guy in college. I actually since married him. And he worked at a consulting firm where they had a 370. It was an old, old 370. And I used to go to work with him, and I would type my papers for journalism class on the 370. So I'm kind of proud of that, actually. And then I got a Mac Plus a couple years after I got out of college. That was my first computer that I owned.
Now, where'd you go to school?
University of Texas.
Okay, I was wondering if you were a UT person.
Yeah, and the Mac Plus was really all about desktop publishing because I did get the journalism degree, and the Mac Plus made it possible for me to actually produce newsletters and brochures and all those things that PR sequence journalism graduate. So it was just this amazing window. I looked at that. I looked at the Mac Plus, and I said, this is going to change my life, and it totally did.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I can't remember. I'm going to say WGBH Morning Stories, because the way I do things when I get interested in a new thing is I download a lot of it. And my memory is that I downloaded some podcatcher. It wasn't even iPodder. It was some thing called UPod or something like that. And I downloaded about 8 or 10 shows all at once. And I don't remember which one I listened to, but I know WGBH Morning Stories was one of them.
With Tony
and,
Khan.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like a indie podcast. There were probably others in that list, probably DSC and Don and Drew and a few others, but I did it in bulk. I still do.
What podcasts are you listening to on a regular basis today?
Well, I won't read you the whole list of about 60 to say. Podcheck Review.
I loved the SG episode when he had Sam filling for him.
Great.
Wasn't that great?
That was terrific. Scott is so talented and as funny as he can be, and he's been very nice to me. He actually reviewed my cast on his show, but I liked his show long before and after that review. But great guy, great show. Point with Paul Figiani, great technical show. A cast called Doug's Apple Scripts for iTunes, which is a companion to his site. The Borderline, because those guys are just wacky. Love them. Digital Flotsam, Bitterest Pill, Matt Cast, Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, Catfish Show, a bunch of OT old-time radio shows. I really like the Radio Memories Network stuff, Fly With Me. Well, I won't list the whole 60 of them, but a few technical ones, a fair amount of entertainment, and, you know, a few niche-y little things. I listen to way too many. Unfortunately, nothing I listen to comes out on a daily basis.
Tell our listeners about the format and content of your podcast.
Okay. Shelley's podcast, brilliantly named, first of all. It starts out as an audio blog. Long ago when I started doing the show, it was much more of a tech commentary podcast with emphasis on Mac stuff, because I've been working in the Mac community for 15, 16 years, and so it started out as really just commentary on what was going on in the Mac world. And then I expanded it more into an audio blog. I try in and throw in a little bit of humor about my life, what's going on out in the world. And then the listener feedback part of it, just sort of interacting and playing off what other people have to say about the show, has become a bigger part of it. And I would say about the life stuff, the personal life stuff that I throw in my show, that I am the beneficiary of an ongoing saga right now as we try and remodel our house. And as soon as we get that house remodeled, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But I'm just going to wait for Apple to make some more announcements, and then I can make fun of them. That's pretty much what I'm looking forward to.
Well, you can always dog Google and Microsoft. They always have good things to talk about.
You know, that's almost too easy, but I might have to start doing that. I don't know.
What else are some of the things that people can hear when they tune in on your show?
The big thing I'm going to do in the future, and I alluded to it when I was talking about getting the listeners involved, I want to have more people on the show. The hardest thing about podcasting by yourself is podcasting by yourself. You're it. You're the only one that's there. And I take audio comments, and those are great, but what I would really like to do is invite a guest co-host on sometimes. And so I'm about to start a contest that will let my listeners compete for the opportunity to be the guest co-host. And to prevent any hard feelings or problems with who I end up picking, I'm going to let the other listeners vote. So essentially people will audition for the role of guest co-host, and then whoever wins, I'll get on Skype with, and we'll plan a show together, and we'll do it. So that's my latest gambit. I haven't really got the contest put together yet.
You mentioned that you were at Macworld and you were a journalism major. Which magazines have you written for?
I've written for most of them. I'm pleased to say that I've written for Mac User, Mac World, and Mac Week, all the big three in the days when those three were around. I worked for Mac User for about 4.5 years as an editor. And my first gig at a Mac magazine was actually Mac Week, but that's really how I made my living for a lot of years, is writing articles for the big Mac magazines. And then I've done some stuff for Mac Addict more recently, and some non-Apple tech magazines as well.
So who are you writing for now, mostly?
the most recent magazine article I have published is Mac Addict. What I mostly do is write books about mostly the Mac, but I've also done some on wireless and some on web development. So I just signed to do my 12th book. It'll be out in February. And I thought for a while that I probably shouldn't even mention what it was, but I saw I'm already up on Amazon. Believe it or not, it's an iPod book. It's called Easy iPod and iTunes. And that'll be out in February of 2006. And so the most recent one that is out now is the Mac Addict Guide to Living the iLife 05 edition, which is not only the main iLife applications, but there's a chapter on each of the apps that comes with Mac OS X. So,
what is some of the most memorable email or feedback you've received on your podcast?
Well, I mean, the thing I would say, there are a couple people who have produced little things for me, and just that somebody would take the time to do that is kind of cool. And I've reciprocated with people producing little bumpers and things like that. You know, I don't know, maybe Scott Fletcher's thing, because it was so unexpected. Well, I had taken a bit from his show, and I then wanted to use an audio clip in my show, and I had done it without asking him, and I wrote him, because I forgot, it slipped my mind. And then I wrote him, and I said, hey, Scott, I just want you to know, I ripped off a piece from your podcast, but here's the link to my show, it was all in fun. And he wrote back and said, thanks for letting me know. And the next thing I know, he had reviewed me on his show. Okay, fine, that was fabulous. I thought it was the end of it. And then he just sent me an intro. It's basically a plug for voting for my show at Podcast Alley.
Dude. He did it in the very good Scott Fletcher humor style.
Yeah, it was very funny. I mean, I still play it. The funny thing is, I had never really pimped for votes at all before he sent me that. And then I started doing it, much to my own everlasting shame. But just that he would take the time to do that and make it really funny was cool.
Now, talking about pimping, can you tell the listeners where to locate your podcast?
Absolutely. Shelley's Podcast, spelled Shelly's, podcast.blogspot.com, is the blog page. And I've got another show. I don't think we talked about that at all. My other show is called the Tracy Hepburn Podcast, and it's for fans of Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. Very much a niche show.
Okay. Like the Marilyn Monroe cast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my Marilyn.
My Marilyn inspired me. She really did. I hadn't even thought of doing such a thing. I've been a fan of Tracy and Hepburn's for years and years, and had thought of any number of other podcast ideas, but that was not one. And then I heard her show, and I went, I can do that.
I have to tell my mom about the Tracy Hepburn, because she's a big Tracy Hepburn fan.
Oh, cool. It's tracyhepburnpodcast.libsyn.com.
And, of course, on that, they're going to hear all things about Tracy Hepburn.
Absolutely. It's news of upcoming DVD releases, books that are being published. Sometimes somebody will write a snarky article about one of them, and we feel the need to respond. I do upcoming TV alerts for people so they know what's coming up on cable. I do reviews of DVDs when they're released. Just anything that a fan might be interested in. There were some interesting eBay auctions recently that included Hepburn stuff, and we actually had somebody in New York who was there. I say we. It's my show, but whenever I get somebody to contribute to it, I feel like it becomes a team effort. So we had somebody who actually competed in and won one of the auctions and did a long interview with her about that. And that was probably the show I'm the most proud of. And then we also play old radio programs that feature either Tracy or Hepburn, and those are public domain. So it's a lot of fun to just be able to roll out a half-hour radio program that most people probably haven't heard. Even fans probably haven't heard these shows.
Now, when you're creating your podcast, obviously it sounds like you're using Mac hardware. What software are you using to do your podcasts?
I have Audio Hijack Pro running on my G5. I'm using all the effects in Audio Hijack Pro to do the compression and the limiting and stuff like that. So I haven't graduated to hardware effects processing as yet. Hope to do that soon.
And for editing?
Sound Studio or Audacity, depending on what's near at hand. I really like Sound Studio. And then I've got a MXL Mark microphone that I use and the ubiquitous Behringer UB-802 mixer. I'm not consistent, and I haven't... Well, again, it's funny because the two shows I do, in some ways, I do the exact opposite. The Tracy Hepburn podcast comes out twice a month, period. The Shelley's podcast show comes out when I feel like doing a show, or, well, lately it's when I have enough material, because used to I would do it based on when I felt like sitting in front of the microphone, and now I actually begin creating my show notes for the next show immediately after I've done the previous show, so I know what I want to talk about. And then when I feel like I have enough, I'll go and look at the notes again, I'll delete the stuff that I'm not really interested in talking about anymore, and I'll see whether I think I have another show, and then I'll hit record. And that can sometimes happen. In August, I did 8 shows, which was too many.
Yeah, you had said that.
I think I did 5 in September, and that was probably about right. I spend longer than I anticipate I'm going to. And in fact, a lot of times I'll do a show, and I don't think I'm going to edit it, and then I start listening back to it so I can get the blog entry ready, and then I end up editing it. And I don't mind doing it. I'm happy. I enjoy editing. I really do. And it also actually makes me more spontaneous on the show, because if I'm not worried about breaking myself, then I can say whatever I want, and I can go back and get rid of it in editing if I need to. I've learned to make breaks. So if I say something, say it, I give myself a pause, and then I come back and I start it again. And that was like a big breakthrough for me.
Outside of the podcasting community, what are you doing to help promote your show?
Not nearly enough. I know. Well, the problem is that since it's so much an audio blog, I feel like in order to promote a show outside the podcasting community, you really have to be able to tell people that you're giving them something that they think they need or that they think they want. I run an internet mailing list with about 600 people on it, and I've just met a lot of people through various internet connections over the years, and I've promoted it to them and by extension to the people they know. But I haven't really done anything specific to promote outside of podcasting because I haven't found a niche or a handle, if you will, that I can pin the show on and tell people, this is why you want to listen, except for maybe the Mac commentary. So I've told some people in the Mac community, I've promoted it to local Mac user groups just as a Mac commentary program, but I've also warned them that they'll probably get anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes of Mac commentary, and then they're going to have to listen to me talk about remodeling my house. So now the Tracy Hepburn thing is different because that's a niche community, and there are fan communities, there are Yahoo groups, and there are other bulletin boards and things like that. So that's a much more easy fit to find a place to plug that show. But with an audio blog podcast, I get two reactions. Either people are really intrigued by the whole idea of podcasting and they want to listen to it and they'll stick with it, or people who are good friends of mine even will say, well, what's it about? Why would I want to listen to that on an ongoing basis other than just other than somebody who knows you? And I don't really necessarily have an answer for that question. I mean, somebody like Dan Klass, who's just consistently funny and consistently telling stories that are universal, probably has a better shot at attracting a wider audience for an entertainment show than I do.
Are you doing anything to generate any revenue for your show?
No, I don't think I will. Again, the Tracy Hepburn show, I actually experimented with putting some Amazon links up on that page. For my own show, I'm not doing it, and I don't really intend to. It's not a priority for me. I've had other ideas for shows that I could see as being revenue generators. But I've always said if I make any money out of podcasting, it'll be writing about it. I don't think it'll be from my shows.
What advice would you like to offer to those that have been doing a podcast for a little bit, since you've been in this for 10 months now?
I guess the thing that I learned when I started sitting in front of the big microphone with notes and everything was to remember that there's an audience out there. I mean, you're sitting alone in a room with a bunch of equipment, but especially if you're doing an entertainment show or something where it's important to have a lot of energy, remember that there are people out there and behave as if you're talking to human beings instead of to a piece of metal. When I do that, my shows are better. When I'm just concentrating on the material and not really paying attention to the fact that there are people out there, about the 15-minute mark, I start to drag. That and drinking lots of coffee.
Well, you had the beer the one show.
Yeah, I did, and that was a rare evening show for me. And, I have nothing against drinking while I podcast. It's just that I'm not a morning person. I'm a mid-morning person.
Now, and so drinking I'll get to and the editing office. Doesn't mix, though.
No, not at all. Now, drinking and being on somebody else's show can sometimes work. I've done a couple of guest spots things.
Oh, that works real well.
That's fun.
Ask Nate and Die.
Oh, yeah.
Shelley, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Rob. It was fun.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Shelley from Shelley's Podcast. You can check it out at shelleyspodcast.blogspot.com. And you can also find a link there for her Tracy Hepburn podcast. So please check them out. I'm sure you'll enjoy them. Coming up at the end of the podcast is a promo from a podcaster that wins the award for the most questions asked of me. And that is the Shrink Wrap Radio Podcast, a psychiatry podcast. Please stick around and listen to the promo, and hopefully you'll check out his podcast. David has done a great job with the show. Coming up on our next show, our guest will be Jeff from the English as a Second Language podcast. So come back on Monday, October 10th for that. And speaking of the Shrink Wrap Radio podcast, one of his catchphrases is, it's all in your mind, which reminds me back to my days as a teenager where I had to keep reminding myself it was all in my mind. I mean, I can remember this one time in high school. It was after a party, and me and this girl I met at the party are in the back seat of the car, and I didn't even make it a minute. I just totally lost it, and it was so embarrassing. I can remember her telling all her friends I was completely mortified. I mean, after that, no girl, nobody would get in the back seat of a car with me. And it wasn't until I got older in, you know, my 30s where I finally got the self-control where, you know, motion sickness just didn't bother me anymore. That's going to do it for me today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, with Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hey there, this is Dr. Dave of Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's first podcasting psychologist, coming to you from the beautiful wine country in Sonoma County, California. This is the show that brings you all the psychology you need to know and just enough to make you a little bit dangerous. A longtime psychologist myself, I believe there are lots of psychology students and armchair psychologists out there who are interested in the latest news on what makes us tick. So to feed that interest, each week I'll interview fascinating people in and around the world of psychology in a half-hour format. We'll look at everything from consumer psychology to eco-psychology, from gestalt therapy to psychoanalysis, from multiple personalities to serial killers, from hypnosis to dream work, and so much more. So check us out at www.shrinkwrapradio.com. And remember, it's all in your mind.